Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
It's been so long, I feel like I haven't been here in like since last year. All right, Bob, it was a sick joke. I tried. All right, so welcome, folks. It's a joy to welcome you here on the first Sunday of 2020. I'd like to welcome all of our Facebook followers today. And the announcements are just a few. Today begins an expanded Christian education opportunity. Begin at noon. Remember, our time in the social hall is 11:30, and then noon you'll have a chance, folks, and you better take advantage of it. For 2 weeks at noon on Sundays, it's going to be Ask the Pastor, which means you can ask me anything you want. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to answer it all. But that's the first two Sundays of the year in the social hall following our usual fellowship time. Now, today is a very special day for lots of reasons, but one reason is we have a guest with us today, a special guest who's not really a guest because he works right across the street. And his work and ministry is just a simple extension of what we do here. We've had a long-standing partnership with Luton School, but that seems to be increasing, and part of it is because of the response of the congregation on Christmas Eve when we simply responded to a need. And so without further ado, I'm going to ask Rich to come forward. This is Rich Gutierrez. He's the principal next door. And if you just want to give him a round of applause, that'll make him feel comfortable.
Do I need the mic? Is the mic needed? Can you guys hear me okay?
I think we will take the mic just for some.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Well, I am Rich Gutierrez. I'm the principal across the street at Luton Elementary. I have been in the Lansing area for over 30 years. I've been a teacher with the district for 27 years. This is my second year leading Luton, and I had the pleasure of meeting Mark and his wife Deanne, a few months ago, your graciousness really sharing coats and mittens and boots with our students for our students in need have really been appreciated. Recently, my secretary fell ill, and we were in need, and I just shared that with Mark, and he told me what you guys had planned to do for Christmas Eve, and I've received invitations to come over and join you, and I thought, you know, this was really a great time to come express my gratitude and appreciation for all you've done to help Amy. And all of our community at Luton. Again, the coats and the hats, the mittens, the boots, all the things that have been donated generously have found homes, and they're very appreciated. And just talking about what we do over at Luton, we're a Spanish immersion school, but we also focus on global citizenship. And the focus of that is really to teach our kids about the world around them and their role in it, how to be active participants and give back. This year we did a food drive for the Lansing Food Bank, and we did a four-school contest, and we raised over 1,200 meals of food that we donated, almost 2,000 pounds. So again, taking action and giving back. And talking with Mark and your mission, it just seems like it's a natural fit. So I look forward to a continued partnership involving the community here along with our Luton community. So again, thank you very much for everything. We certainly appreciate it.
Now, go ahead. Yeah. So on behalf of this congregation, I'd like to just present you this check for $1,100. That's because of your generosity that will go in to Amy to help her in her hour and days and weeks of need. There you go, and thank you very much. All right. And Rich is going to stay for the worship service, and I gave him carte blanche to do some recruiting for volunteers when we have the fellowship time back there, okay? Should I leave it on? Oh, it's off. There we go. You want it on, Sue? Where's Sue?
In the back.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to leave it here and do that. Well, now it's time to worship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join with me in our call to worship. The holidays are over, but the spirit of Christmas lives on.
How do we continue in the spirit of Christmas?
We need to think about what we received from God.
We have received something that, in all honesty, we didn't deserve.
It's unmerited favor, otherwise known as grace.
May the grace of God permeate every part of our lives and our worship.
Amen.
Those that can't, please stand.
Let's go.
join me as we offer up our opening prayer. Gracious God and loving Lord, we gather at the beginning of a new year and a new decade. We are amazed at the passing of time, but we know that time is a gift given to us by God. So help us to use our precious time to turn gifts received into gifts given. May the passing of time be opportunities for the passing of gifts, especially the gift of grace. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please be seated.
On page 148 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's first reading, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. The book of Ephesians opens with a cosmic understanding of salvation that began before the universe was created. The Gospels tell of the life and ministry of Christ. Ephesians puts the plan of salvation that transcends the human life of Christ into the perspective of the ongoing present life of Christ, risen and exalted into heavenly glory. This understanding moves the gospel from mere commandments into blessings, which become the riches of grace. Hear now these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
I'll give you a spoiler alert for the theme of the day if you didn't already pick it up. Now, I want you to think about what you did get for Christmas. I want you to think long and hard about that. I want you to think in light of the scriptures that have been and will be read today, that word that has already been given in what Sue just read and will be read again more than once in the gospel lesson, and it's the word grace. So, the act of giving is grace, and you folks have proved that over and over again. I would always remind the congregation on a Sunday morning that if you're a visitor, you're off the hook today, because this service is our grace to you. Of course, we don't refuse people if they want to give, but in the spirit of giving and in the spirit of Christ, we'll ask the ushers to come forward.
You will note that the offertory music this morning was written by our own William McCarris. As many of you know, Bill writes a Christmas carol every year to be used for their Christmas greeting to their friends and loved ones. Go ahead. Several weeks ago, Bill asked me if I would be willing to sing this song of his to be recorded and put out on Facebook. And I thought, oh my gosh, wow, is that an honor? So we did that. And then I said to Barb, let's honor Bill for all of the years that he has been writing this music and present this to the congregation as a Christmas gift to the congregation. I want you to know he's been doing this since he was in graduate school. That's a lot of music. Anyway, here we present to you Mary's Admonition. Kim took care of it.
Kim and Bob know every instrument that's ever been made, and I take a risk when I say, Kim, that was a flugelhorn, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, that was a flugelhorn if you've never, well, it's been, yes, okay.
I forgot to mention that instrument line was written to be played by Bill and Rilla's granddaughter, who lives out in Portland, Oregon area. And what Bill did was he took our recording, sent it to her, and she played along and recorded it while ours played. And then he combined the two for the YouTube production. So when it came to doing this, I suggested that Kim could do it. And I thought he did a wonderful job.
All right, it's time for the doxology, folks. Would you stand? Be seated. Well, even the choir who was here earlier this morning had to be reminded of some things after a new year. Seems like such a long time, but after all, most of us were, many of you were here last Sunday and Christmas Eve service. But time moves on, does it not? Just another reminder that we are, as I usually do, I'll pray the pastoral prayer, and I will pause and ask the congregation if anyone would like to mention out loud a first name of a person that you'd like to lift up in prayer today. We'll give you that opportunity. We will close with the Lord's Prayer using the words debts and debtor. Let us pray. Lord, you've given us the gift of time, and time is all we know, and yet we believe in the eternal God that has the grander perspective. And yet, Lord, we ask that you would help us to rejoice at the gift of time, even though sometimes we bemoan its passing. Thank you for new opportunities, for new life, for new ways to think and act. And so even as the burdens of the world around us grow greater, like more gun violence and epic fires in Australia and continued border crisis, as that list goes on and on, help us, Lord, to know and believe that not just in prayer, but by action, we can make difference in this world. We can not only bring peace, but we can bring healing, even healing to our aching, hurting planet. We thank you for those precious children across the street at Luton School, and those precious teachers and staff members, including Amy, and our dear friend Rich, who has come to share with us today, that you would, in all of their understanding and teaching, help them not only become citizens of this world, but to become people who can make a difference. That's what we believe, Lord, that you have called us to make a difference in this world. So help us to be difference makers, and help us to know when it's time not to be silent. And Lord, we thank you that we do not always have to be silent in prayer. We can offer our prayers to you, including the names of people that we want to remember just now. Lord, hear our prayers. Meet the needs of those that have been mentioned, but help us to know that we, as we pray, we act and we love and we care and we support. Thank you also, Lord, that when we don't know how to pray, that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was back in choir mode. On page 71 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's gospel reading, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the prologue to this gospel, John does not give us the human narrative of the Christmas story. Rather, he helps us understand the story of Jesus that ultimately is not about Jesus, but about the story of God. The story of Christmas, the Word becoming flesh, John tells us, is the decisive event in human history when God transforms our understanding of the relationship between the human and the divine by the advent of Christ. Hear now these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And in parentheses, John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.'" And going on, "From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all we have received because of Christmas. Amen. Doesn't really sound like a sermon title, does it? What did you get for Christmas? And this may not really be someone acting like he's going to preach a sermon today, but all right, every now and then, Rich, around here, we do something that just switches it up a little bit. So I need about three people to tell me something of note that you received for Christmas, and I'm going to start with a choir. If you have something you just really was cool for Christmas, anybody in the choir want to share? Look, they're supposed to be an example, folks. All right, Anne?
I got a plaque to hang on the wall for my granddaughter that says TGIF, "This grandma is fabulous."
Now we're talking. That ought to get you going here. Okay, one other person from each side of the sanctuary today. Raise your hand if you'd like to tell me something. Tell the group here.
tell our congregation what you got for Christmas that was kind of cool. All right, Ruth.
Christmas Day, as our custom, my whole family gathered, which was about 30 people at my house. And to me, family is everything in life. And so just the fact that we were together, had fun, we played games, we had a lot to eat, and the fellowship of our family being together, to me, was the most wonderful present.
Fantastic, Ruth. And one more soul over on this side here. All right, Lawrence, I was hoping.
Nothing. Because... so I wouldn't have to take it back to the store and hurt nobody's feeling. But I woke up, so that was good enough.
Well, those responses were exactly what I was hoping for.
Thanks for breaking the ice, Ann. You helped me out.
Well, let me tell you what I got for Christmas that was really cool. Does anybody have a skylight and know what that is? It's a modern gadget. Anybody know what that is other than Deanne? Well, I meant to bring it today. We were 20 miles down the road until we realized, oops, I didn't bring it. So I was going to demonstrate it to you. But a skylight is a little box about that big. It looks like a tiny little television. It has a picture screen on it. It also has an email address. And you can email it pictures. And you can send the email address to all your family and friends. And I mean to tell you, we have hundreds of pictures that scroll every 15 seconds on that thing. And it's really cool. I want to tell you that. I think I shared with you my Christmas present I got last year along those lines. Anybody remember what I shared last year? Rich, they don't remember much of what I say. It was a New York Times book that had the headlines of every New York Times paper on my birthday, starting with the year I was born. And that was pretty cool. So that came as from the same person. And because the gifts are so unique and so thoughtful that those were acts of grace. Now, today, Sunday, is a little bit of a confusing Sunday, and I'll tell you why. There is a little note of Epiphany, but technically Epiphany happens when? Anybody know? Tomorrow, yes, January 6th. So if Epiphany is tomorrow, what's today? They're really good, Rich. They're really good now. The day before Christmas. But it is the 12th day of Christmas today. And so our choir director decided to, at the last minute, not to have 12 drummers drumming for our anthem today. But wouldn't that have been kind of cool? Maybe not. Maybe next year. So officially, tomorrow, the Christmas season ends. And how do you feel about that? Well, if you haven't already, the Christmas tree has to be undecorated and put into the attic or garage. That happens at our house tomorrow. The taped-up Christmas cards will be gone, and we got a lot of them. And down comes my favorite Christmas decoration of all time. Deanne resisted for 7 years. And on the 8th year, she decided to go along with it. A 7-foot Frosty the Snowman has graced our porch and greeted our visitors all through the Christmas season. And it will be tough for me to deflate Frosty and say goodbye for 11 months. I wonder what my neighbors think. I haven't asked them. In the church, all the preparations for Christmas Sunday and Christmas Eve are behind us, and choir practice will be back to just an hour and a half. The decorations are down. We're back to normal, right? Well, that's maybe might have different answers. So let me ask what may seem like a rhetorical question. Is there or was there anything from this Christmas season that has lasted to this moment and has truly permeated your being? And the answer must be yes, because I have a feeling that more than just the three who shared this morning, and myself included, we have been graced at Christmas time to varying degrees. And I will be the first to testify that our long hosting period, which started on the 21st of December, and with only a couple days break, we have hosted four or five. But this last week, my son and his girlfriend spent every time from Monday morning at 8 o'clock when I picked them up at Metro Airport until yesterday morning at 5 o'clock when I dropped them off. We've had a wonderful Christmas holiday season. Now, in all the recreations of the Christmas story, we usually, and rightly so, focused on the human characters who played out this divine drama. And some of you that were here for my meditation on Christmas Eve in particular, I spoke of Joseph's dilemma in the midst of a potential and very public scandal. He was strong, quiet, protecting, and even forgiving of the potential scandal, thinking that maybe Mary had been with another man. Mary was quite different from the usual portrayal. Some of you may remember this. And I proposed the idea that Mary was not the meek and mild person, but spunky and adventurous, and even questioning when the angel representing God came to her. But today, we are presented with a Christmas perspective quite removed from the personal drama. Both the writer to the Ephesians and the Gospel of John, each in their opening lines, encourage us to take a step back and view the story from a cosmic perspective. In Ephesians, we are told that we have been blessed through Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In other words, the story of Christ is the story of God. It didn't just begin 2,000 years ago. And the writer says that we have been destined, adopted, forgiven, given an inheritance, and there has been a mystery that has now been revealed and made known to us. All of this because the writer says it is the good pleasure of God, in other words, a God who always wants to do good things for us, set forth in God's exact timing, according to God's eternal purposes and will. And it's all because of the riches of God's grace toward us. And in John's Gospel, written after the book of Ephesians, the traditional Christmas narrative found in Luke and Matthew is omitted, and the phrase "in the beginning" is employed, just like we read at the very beginning of the Bible. This living word, John says, existing at the dawn of creation, was with God, was God, and the allusion to Genesis connects Jesus, that word made flesh, with all of God's gracious acts and promises. In the Old Covenant, including that word which was spoke when creation was brought into being, God's law of life given at Sinai with Moses, and the speaking of truth to power by the prophets. This is the same word, capital W, that Isaiah told us will never fade away and will always bring true life. So the essence of John's message is that when we see Jesus, we see God. John also reminds readers and hearers that not everyone will receive this light that has come into the world. The simple reason, we are told in multiple passages of Scripture, is that we all of us, prefer darkness to light. So, instead of judging others or forcing dogma or doctrine upon anyone, we are called to receive this gracious act of God by simply recognizing our status as children of God, who were born with the capacity to exude and live out the grace which has been given to all of us by God. We are called to receive light and to shine the light like we did with our candles at the end of the Christmas Eve service. I'm sure that this is what happens every day with the children that you, Rich, are entrusted with every day as you interact with all those precious souls God has placed within your care, including all of your teachers. It is that same motivation a pastor has when each of one's flock are perceived as precious children of God. Jill Duffield, one of my favorite commentators, says, "Nothing kills imagery like explanation." Sometimes we as preachers need to step back from the beautiful poetic lines of Scripture without our often laborious explanations, like what we find in John's eloquent prologue to the gospel, the good news that was just read to us. Let us take a moment, at least in our minds this morning, to awaken our souls to the amazing grace upon grace of the incarnation. This is what we have all received at Christmas, unmerited favor from the very creator of the universe, yet we have been deemed worth it. In the 8th Psalm we read, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens." That psalmist continues, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them?" The implication is that there is a knowledge within our hearts, within our souls, that God cares for God's creation. So just before we approach the table of grace this morning, I will offer some explanation. First of all, grace is not legal, it's not transactional, and it is not binding. It is not forced, and it is not cheap. It costs the very offspring of God his very life. But we are also called to deny ourselves toward the interests of others, knowing that grace is a gift. Deanna and I, as your pastoral couple, have been graced upon grace once again in these days we call the holidays. A little bag of lemon bread hanging on the pastor's study door, a generous Panera card, Christmas cards, countlessly so, and many other symbols, including hugs and handshakes and words of encouragement, representing the love of this congregation. Beyond the symbols, however, as important as they are, the grace we receive is relational. It is the grace which motivated the divine to become flesh. While it is not binding, it is covenantal and communal. It does not expect, but it allows for the failures of others. The entire story of God is replete with the turning away of God's people to the light. But through faithful covenant, God's grace and limitless love continues. This is why, after receiving the gift of God's grace, we are called to emulate the heart of God so perfectly revealed in the life of Christ, our Lord. We have a choice to respond to God's grace. Now that the Word has been made flesh and that we can know and see God, we can participate in this new relationship and reflect it in our relationship with God, all of God's creation, and with all humanity, including the stranger, the alien, and the foreigner. There are signs when you see, sometimes when you go into a business, particularly a restaurant, no shirt, no shoes, no service. Perhaps the sign might be displayed on our bulletin, our website, our church sign, and even in our sanctuary, which would say, "Relationships required." At the beginning of a new year, and indeed a new decade, we can hit the reset button once again, recognizing and remembering that our Christmas gift given to us by God, not to bury our heads in the sand to present realities of the present realities of political discord or the unfortunate new fear of war just this last week, or a blindness to the suffering of others or our own, but a fresh determination to live and be the grace of God to others, beginning with those in the pews right next to you. It is a Christmas gift that will last not only through 2020, but for our lifetimes and into eternity. Thanks be to God.
Just a reminder, while we all understand the solemn part of this table and what we do, there is also a happy festive time. It's almost a dichotomy. But I would, at least by a smile on my face, give you the Lord's invitation to come to this table, because it is not just a personal thing with us and God. It is a personal thing with God and all of us together. We are a community of faith. So when we come to this table, it's okay to reach out and pat somebody on the shoulder or shake their hand or smile. It's okay, folks. This is the table of our Lord. So if you have that ritual that has been in your bulletin, we will share together, first of all, the confession for all of us. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son, amen. We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander, or how far away we feel from God, we will never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved. We are forgiven. We are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear. So the invitation is, in like manner, we welcome all of you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments, and present ourselves to God, who offers all of us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives. I'll ask the ushers and servers to meet me at the table. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, as he sat at supper with his disciples, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said to them, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as you are served, just hold the elements until all are served, and then we will share the elements together. Thank you. Let's eat together. After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again, ministering to all of you and us. In his name, we give you the cup of salvation." The cup of salvation, so we partake together. And you can put the cups in the little spot in your pews. We don't normally sing six verses of a song. But when it comes to Amazing Grace, we're just going to kind of let it go today, folks. Sing heartily and listen for a little bit of a change on the last verse. Be ready for that.
Sing.
Some good singing, and if I don't say it any other time, that's pretty good piano playing there, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, go ahead. That's good. It'll be a little while before Deanne's back on that piano, and she appreciates all of the wonderful things that have been said to her in the hour of need in this congregation, and Sue Benn will be back next Sunday. So, it's one thing to receive a gift. It's another thing to pass it on. And we were part of a birthday over the holidays and got a very unique birthday card and said, you can use this birthday card to pass it along. And I thought it was kind of cool. It had a sticky note on it, so you could take the sticky note, put another one on it. But it was a birthday card that opened up, and you blow on it, and all of a sudden it starts singing, happy birthday, there's a candle, and we blew on it. So what was cool is we really enjoyed that, and it was really a joy to watch our son-in-law at his 50th birthday, blow on that candle, and all of a sudden there was a chorus of happy birthday. That's the way it is with the grace of God as we offer the benediction, that the grace of God is something we receive, but it cannot be contained. We need to pass it along. So with that, may the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So the gift that we've received, that's grace, and that's been given to all of us. It's time to share it with that right hand of fellowship. Go ahead.